What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Krista Sellums, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
Back 1 week late. Oh, why is... Can you hear me? Because it's not showing up to any
bars. I can hear you, but my audio does not seem like it's recording on my end, but can you hear me?
And mine doesn't say it's recording on my end, but I can hear you, and it shows that you're recording, but I'm not recording.
Okay, so we're just going to have to assume that we're both recording. We're just going to
hope for the best here, folks. Zencaster?
The lost episode!
Oh, no, I can't go through that again. They made a little update. It looks good. It looks like it's cool, but not sure how it's tested for bugs. We found one already about 10 seconds in, but...
Test your fucking website before you make it go live.
1 week later. We were not correct. We're back 1 week later, not two. Because the honors
do everything. Freezing cold take number one.
Yeah.
Back.
It's finally... Finally, an Islanders episode. Don't get these too often. That's for sure.
All right, so we'll just jump right into it. Freezing cold take number two.
Yep. Might as
the
well.
The elephant in the room.
Nazem the Dream is dead. Not in actually dead, but Nazem the Dream of the Dream,
the dream of Nazem the Dream.
That's a tough one to say. The Dream of Nazem the Dream is dead. He signed 7x7 with the Calgary Flames. Very weird one because I don't know if you remember this, but back in 2019 or 2018, when he was traded to Colorado, they had a deal agreed with Calgary at first, and he denied a trade there. So I don't know what happened, but regardless, he is not an Islander. I'm like, kind of sucks, just because like the forward core didn't get upgraded, and Lou basically sent his press conference after he announced the RFA signings that this is the team now. But do I want Kadri for $7 million until he's 39? Not really. I think Calgary's not going to like that one, but what were your thoughts on that?
My initial thought was like it just kind of came out of nowhere, and why did it take so long for him to sign? Because apparently the Islanders offered him like the same term, the same years. I just don't know if Lou was able to sell him on Long Island. I don't know like what Long Island doesn't have that Calgary does.
I mean, I think maybe they just I just don't think the Islanders could move the money, and they didn't have the roster room, so I think it just is what it is. I don't think they were able to move Beauvillier or Bailey, or maybe they didn't want to, and Calgary just gave him the deal. I mean, I'm not too upset about it. I mean, like I said, it sucks, but at the end of the day, like, the contract's rough. $7 million is not that bad.
It is a tough contract. Sure, you can make the arguments that, like, the cap's going to go up by, like, the later half of this contract, and yeah, that very well might be the case, but and it probably will happen, but it still doesn't mean it's not a bad contract. But my biggest thing was Weeks said this on Chicklets like a month ago. He was like, keep your eyes out for Calgary, and they were like, oh, is he gonna end up there? And he's like, I don't know, just keep your eyes out. I'm hearing that they're making a bid for him. And I think this was right after their whole Johnny left, and they made all those big trades for Huberdeau and everything, and Uyghur.
They've always wanted Kadri, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, man, they got who they wanted. They wanted him. They got him, and they got him locked up long term. I mean, like, my other thing is like that team contractually, it's tough. It's gonna suck. So their window is definitely now, because it's like, I'm not saying Huberto's a bad player. He's great, but you signed him for 8 years, and I'm pretty sure he's 29 or 28. So it's like he's going to be 30 in his 30s. Kadri's already in his 30s, and you signed him for seven years. So it's like you have $17 million of your $82.5 or $81.5 million cap locked up in those two guys. And granted, it's not a ton of money, but it's like
They're going to win now. They're trying to win now. I respect it. I mean, I was going to bring up the point. Like, I know this, we're kind of off track with the whole Flames deal. It's not supposed to be about the Flames, but they really just transformed their whole team. I mean, they lost their two best players in the offseason and bring in Kadri, Huberdeau, Uyghur, Schwint. I mean, very impressive, but you're right. It's going to suck down the road, but I'd say they opened their contending window for another 3 years, three years at least. So I got to respect it at the very minimum.
Yeah, no, 100%. I definitely think they turned it around in a huge way. So good for them, but sucks for the Islanders and the Islanders fans who all but thought this was a done deal. And I think that was kind of the consensus around the league, was like it was a done. It felt like it was a done deal, and the Islanders were just seemed like they were waiting for some reason to announce it. And then,
yeah, that's the weird part. Like, because everybody, I think everybody assumed, including us, that like, oh, why isn't Kadri signed, right? Like, is he waiting for the Colorado to move some money out? He's waiting for the Islanders. And everybody assumed it was the Islanders because, ooh, Lou operates in secrecy. But why did he wait so long? That's my big mystery of this whole thing. Because everybody, I think, on the inside and the outside of the hockey world, just the fans in general, thought that the Islanders had him because there was no news on him. I think that was just the assumption. So I'm very curious about why this took until August 18th to get Kadri signed. That's the weird part to me, but
I have a theory.
Yep.
So I feel like he might have been leaning towards signing with either the Islanders or the Flames. I think both of them, since it was determined the money that he wanted, let's just say that's true. That part's true, correct?
Yeah.
I feel that Lou was having a hard time moving the pieces that he needed to move to make it work, and everything works out fine, and he's able to sign the guys that he wants to sign to. I think that was also something that was on his mind. Whereas Montreal had the space to take a contract that Calgary needed to move, and you gave him a conditional first round pick.
A lot of conditions, that's for sure. Oh my God.
I don't know what any of the conditions are actually on it.
There's 100 conditions. It's the funniest document ever. It's so impossible to read. But yeah, I think that's a great point. Like Calgary, they got a first for Tkachuk, so they had an extra first to play with, and they made the move with it. I mean, if you're the Islanders, is getting Nazem Kadri at this point worth either A, probably giving up Beauvillier for like a third round pick? I think that makes your team like marginally better. Beauvillier is obviously not the player Kadri is, but like, is that difference big enough to sacrifice Beauvillier for like a third? I don't think so. And B, like, if you don't have a first round pick in the last 3 years, the one before that was Simon Holmstrom, are you going to send another first round pick to shed a contract to get Kadri? I don't think Kadri is worth giving up another first round pick for. I'd rather wait till the deadline if you're in contention to a wild card spot and spend it on a big name that can help you out. You know, I'm more inclined to do that and not have the tied downness of Kadri's contract. So I think you're right. I think that was a big part of it. Calgary, credit to him for doing that. I mean, I'm not too upset about it. It could have been worse.
I also kind of just poked a hole. I'm thinking about it. In my head, I just kind of poked a hole in my own theory. Does Sean Monahan's name like hold and carry more value than like trading Beauvillier? I feel like a team would be way more open to getting Beauvillier and a second round pick as opposed to Monahan. So I feel like
I don't think Beauvillier would be a cap dump. I just don't think they wanted to sell well on him. I think that Monahan's a total cap dump. Yeah, I think I think more so, is it equivalent to Josh Bailey? Maybe. I think that's a question where you're like, how much you have to give up for Bailey? Like, is it Bailey in a second versus Monahan in the first? If I'm a rebuilding Montreal team, I probably want Monahan in the first, to be honest. But
yeah, and you only have Monahan for a year.
Yeah, is it really only a year?
I think he only has a year left on his contract. Yeah,
that's not bad at all. You get a first for to pay Monahan for 1 year. That's not bad. I mean, we act like Monahan's a trash player. I mean, he's obviously had so many injuries, but I mean, yeah, let's just give Calgary credit. They went for it. I don't think the Islanders should have went for it, quite frankly. That's what I've kind of come to peace with. So it's really
okay. Yeah, I'm looking at Cap Friendly now, and Sean Monahan, the 22-23 season. Yeah, 1 year modified no trade. 6.375. So you only have him for a year, so you don't have to worry about him on your books for a year. You could re-sign him. You don't have to. He'll probably want to test free agency. So especially at 27, I didn't realize he was so young. So or still relatively young. So it's essentially a win-win for Montreal. It's like you have more depth. You have a second or third line center at a really good contract what it is, and you got a conditional first round pick, and granted the conditions are apparently outlandish and It's a page and a half of conditions.
I can't even describe it. I wish it's got to be online somewhere. I don't even know how to describe it, but yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense all around in hindsight.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, so RIP to the Nazem Kadri dream. And the Islanders, Kevin Weeks, again, bringing him back. He said the Islanders had four transactions, and I think they made more than four. I think they ended up
the first, and then they made another like four. So
yeah, I was gonna say I think it was like seven at the end of the day, but
you think you're right.
I will let you take it away since you are the Islanders guy on this podcast. But
yeah, chime in.
The transactions are definitely not what definitely not what I think everyone was expecting when you heard the Islanders were going to make four moves. Kadri was still on the market, and you thought, oh, is Lou like really playing like 6D chess, and he's going to make some crazy moves, and this whole team's going to be like, yeah, should have known better. It's Lou Lamoriello.
Minus Roman.
It is the exact same team. So take it away.
Yeah, so I think the signings we all expected. Dobson, 3 years, $4 million per. Romanov, 3 years, 2.5 per. Bellows, 1 year, 1.3 per, 1.2 per. Not sure which one it is. Not per, obviously. It's 1 year, 1.2. But honestly, I'm sure you agree. I know we were texting about it. Great deals for Dobson and Romanov. I mean, $4 million.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think $4 million is a bigger bridge than most people get. But I think Dobson's earned it. I mean, he was a beast last year. We know it. After I geniusly said
trade
Dobson for a score. Yeah, moron. But if Dobson continues to blossom into the defenseman he can be, $4 million is just such a steal, I think. He's going to be paired up with Romanov. 3 years at $2.5 million. I think that's a pretty – maybe it's a bit overpriced this year, I think. But you look through three years from now, if Romanov continues his progression and becomes a really solid top four guy, $2.5 million is a bargain that's going to allow you to improve in other areas of your team. So I was very happy about those two. Bellows is kind of like, meh, like it's a transaction you knew was coming, but it's kind of underwhelming. I think this is probably the last year for Bellows on Long Island. I mean, hasn't really been too special. He's shown the flashes. He's turned into more of a checker, I think. I think he would honestly be pretty good. Like, if they made their fourth line, like Parise, Zizekas, Bellows, I would love that. I'm a big Kyle Clutterbuck fan, and I also appreciate Matt Martin's dedication and longevity with the Islanders. But that's a nice way of putting it. But, like, it's tough, especially with Martin. Like, he really shouldn't be an everyday player anymore. I think they're trying to phase it out with Ross Johnson. But why not just play Bellows? You know, he can check. He can forecheck. I know he's not as defensively responsible, but we'll see. I'm assuming he'll get games in when guys in the top six / third line are injured, but that's about all you're going to get from Bellows. But I'm very excited about the Romanov and Dobson contracts. I think that if they continue to grow as they should, and I think they will, then that's just going to be great deals. I mean, if Dobson continues to have the season they have, like, what do you think he gets in 3 years? Like $8 million? I think it's possible given the market.
Yeah, I think like definitely would need like a significant jump in his game, because I'm thinking $8 million, like a guy like Fox makes 9.5.
True.
So it's like
maybe seven.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe if he makes like a big jump, like 7.5 would probably be more where his value is at. $8 million would probably be an overpay if we're just looking at contracts right now. And the only reason why I know Fox is making 9.5 is because I was looking at the Rangers cap friendly before we jumped on and stuff.
It's also a couple years down the line, so who knows what defensemen get. Okay. But yeah, I think 7.5 is pretty fair. I mean, his offensive game is already there. It's not totally refined, obviously. It's kind of painful watching him quarterback power play, but if he gets his defensive game there, like, I'd pay him 7.5. But
yeah,
yes, you got
yeah, seven and a half would be a steal of a contract at that point, especially if he like becomes this, you know, great, you know, dependable defenseman that runs
which power I think he will
for the Islanders. So it definitely was surprising that the Islanders decided to do. I don't want to say nothing. They didn't do nothing. They definitely did not do nothing, but in terms of like
nothing big,
any big moves and yeah. really like changing up the roster, they did nothing. And sure, I get why Lou didn't do anything because he trusts this team, believes in this team because, yeah. hey, they just made two back-to-back conference finals a few years ago.
I'm glad you're saying this.
we're chalking up last season to a
lot of different
to a COVID things. Season and, yeah. and just bad luck left and right. But then that begs the question, if you're chalking up last season to COVID and the mistakes that – or not the mistakes, like just the bad luck that the Islanders have or had – why fire Barry then? I think that's like the only thing now that I'm thinking of. I'm like, if you're yeah. if the whole plan was to, like, I don't know if the plan was to, you were in on Kadri, you ended up not doing anything. And I guess like it's kind of like, oh, we already did it, so we already fired him, so it doesn't matter. But like, if the plan in the beginning of the summer was we'll try to get Kadri, but like I want to essentially keep the team the same.
Well, I don't think that was the plan, to be honest. The way,
like, I guess just in like why fire Barry is like just how I would be looking at it. Like,
I think it's just established his head just wasn't in the game. I don't think they wanted to do fire Barry, but I think it just like was amicable at that point. So
yeah. I mean, that could totally be the case. I'm just looking at it. Like if this was the plan the entire time and Lou was just like, yeah,
I don't think it was though. That's the thing. Yeah. Remember his availability before the draft. He was like, yeah, you know, we got to improve the defense to make it more offensive, which I guess they kind of did with Romanov. I don't really buy that. His puck skills aren't great. And they got to upgrade their forward core by doing hockey trades, whatever the hell that meant. And he really didn't. So I think he did want to change it up, but I think you're right. I think he also does have faith in the core that went to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. But I think it is, I don't want to call it like a failure. People are very doom and gloom on Twitter. We know that. We've established that. We hate it. But I think the team, like you said, like they made back-to-back conference finals. I'm glad you said that because I was going to say, like, the team has Sorokin, who's probably I'll say top five goalie in the NHL at this point. I'm not going to say top three yet because I think there are probably players better. Top five to top seven. Varlamov's an amazing 1B. And then your defense is five of the six of them are Pelech, Pulak, Dobson, Romanov, which is an elite top four. And then you can reunite Pelech and Pulak finally because you don't have to worry about Chara dragging down the whole damn team. And then you have Scott Mayfield on the bottom pair. Yeah, no, it's really, I can't believe that happened. You have Scott Mayfield on the bottom pair with probably Robin Saul at this point. We'll get into that one later. But that's an elite five defenseman at that point, and you have a great goaltender. So if you can just scrounge up just enough goals, just enough to get you to that wild card, not many teams scare me in the East too much. I think it'd be a battle for sure. And I think, quite frankly, yeah, the Islanders could face a team like the Rangers or the Hurricanes or the Leafs in the first round, and they could lose. But they'll make it a pretty good series. And maybe in sometimes the Islanders would win that series and make another run to the second, third round. And maybe if they get hot at the right time and play some good defense, and they play their game, they make it to the cup final. I think that's really overreaching. I think they make it probably the second round at most this year. To make the playoffs, I'd be happy. But the team is there. Like, the defense is there and the goalies are there. So if Matt Barzal can maybe raise his game a little bit, I don't think it's abject to say that the Islanders can make the playoffs. They have a good core.
Yeah, I was talking to someone. We were out to dinner before I hopped on the podcast, and he was asking me. He said, "Do you think the Islanders are a lock for playoffs?"
No, I don't think so.
And I said, "No." He said yes, but then really? He like saw me answering with like, "I'm not a no. I definitely think the Islanders could make the playoffs, but like you said, I think it for me." I'm like, it's a new coach. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be like an all new system, but like you're.
He said it's going to be similar, but more offensive. That's what he said in his press conference.
So it's like you're going to have to hope that guys like learn that system relatively quickly.
True.
And I'm like, and granted, yeah, this is the same team, but it's like it's going to be 2 years removed from a conference finals. Everyone's 2 years older. So that means like, yeah, your younger guys are 2 years older. They're probably stronger, faster, better, but it also means the guys who are a little bit older are 2 years slower. Older. So they might yeah. be a little slower and, you know, make more mistakes. So it's kind of like, I definitely could see them. Yeah. Probably in like, And we'll talk about this when we do our season predictions. Yeah. But I would say if I'm an Islanders fan, you know, Barry being gone, the team being the same, not really knowing what they look like, because like and they were good towards the end of last season, but I definitely think with a new coach and everything, I definitely want to see how they play in that first month or two before I really stamp like whether. Yeah, do I think that's they can make the playoffs? Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely believe they can make the playoffs. Do I think they'll be like a one or two seed? No, I don't, because I think
three to wild card.
Way more change than like I think we all believe, but not a lot changed in the same like sense. It's weird, like not a lot changed, but also a lot changed.
That's the problem. Like it's so hard to get a grip on because like you said, it's like Lambert's a new coach, but like kind of not a new coach. And then the team's the same, but you had Romanov give it to Char and Green. So not really the same. And then
this is a true retool, I think.
It's interesting. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't even know if I call it a retool. Maybe like just a refresh. It's a refresh.
That's a good word. I like that. It is a refresh because, like, but you don't know what you're getting out of this team also because, like you said, it's a refresh, especially on defense. Getting rid of Char and Green for probably Salo and Romanov, which is huge. But it's like the COVID season where they made their first conference finals was okay. So let's go all the way back. The 2019 season, JT Weaves, chip on their shoulder. They played great. Good for them. They had a great year, made the second round, got stomped, whatever. Second season, they were in a tailspin. COVID hit, made the bubble. We know what happened then. The other season, shortened season. Last season, you had the COVID. The road trip, Barry's mom died. Barry Trotz's mother passed away, I should say. And the defense with Char and Green. So, like, has this team ever had a normal season, really? Like, I don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, yeah, like, this is, I think, the first season this is, like, the first season where, like, this is the true test, like, it's going to be a full season. You're going to play 82 games. And granted, like that first season, it was like you played 70 games. So it wasn't like they got chipped of like a whole season. They got chipped.
No, it was pretty close. They would have been also
played and also played like in a pretty intense playoff situation with the bubble.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
They beat a lot of good teams in that bubble. They beat Washington, Florida, Pittsburgh. Who was the other team that we beat in the second round? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is like the first real test of like you're going to play a full season. There's no bubble. There's no shortened season. It's a full 82 games.
Yeah.
Show us what you got. And there's no excuses at this point. Like you don't have COVID to fall back on. You don't have the arena's done at this point. You're not going to go on a road trip to begin the season. Like there's no excuses. You kind of know what this team is. And it works out great for the Islanders for, I guess, like the front office and stuff, because it's like now being that this is the first like true test for them, you know what you have because you went to the back-to-back conference finals, and granted there were circumstances to get there, but like
impressive.
Very impressive. Not taking it away. Oh, like, I know, just, yeah. There was global circumstances that shortened seasons and everything. But like what I'm trying to get at is that like you know what you have in this team after this season. So it's like if they miss the playoffs, you know, like, okay, we're chalking it up to luck fell in our like things fell our way, the bubble season, the shortened season, and we don't have what it takes to get to the playoffs in a natural 82 game season, or like it works out in their favor that way, because then you go, okay, these were the holes, like we actually got a true feeling for like what this team can do in a full 82 game season and in a playoff. So it's like if that's their plan, that's a great plan, because now you have the data, you know what this team can do, what they can't do. So it'll be a big summer for them next summer, I believe, depending on how this summer goes.
That's the thing. Like you say, I mean, I think the biggest part of it with what you just said is that if the season, it is the true test, I think you're right. Unless something wild happens, I'm sure monkeypox will cancel the season knowing how everything goes, but it's if this season goes bad and they miss the playoffs, even just by 2 points, even if they miss the playoffs by 2 points, either Lamorel gets fired and this team totally changes, or the fans are going to lose their minds. And it's, even if Lamorel does stay for another year, like, the owners are going to hear it for so long. I mean, it's kind of incredible, just because looking back on the old days with Capuano and Doug Wade, it's like, it took so much losing to get the fire Wade, fire Capuano stuff to go. But Lamorel has such a tight, like, rope. And I think the fans are so fed up. And I think part of it is probably media discourse from, like, Toronto fans and Devils fans and other people, which I guess is, to an extent, probably true, just because he's old. He's old school. He does things in a different way than a lot of the younger GMs, like Chris Drury would do. But I don't know. He's made some good moves. He's brought reputation. I feel like it's a lot of revisionist history. I mean, I'm not happy he didn't get a scorer this year or sign a scorer this year, but he made the moves, like, with Peugeot and Palmieri. He made the team better. He got Romanov. It's not ideal, but people are acting like this guy is, like, the bringer of all doom. It wasn't his fault that last year happened, I don't think. He brought the team to 2 conference finals. I mean, I'm not, like, people are just so trigger happy now. Like, I don't think anybody else is going to improve the situation that much unless they give Jarmo Kekalainen the bag, our guy. But I don't know. I think it is definitely going to be a true test. And if it goes badly, then, like, they're going to call for a send.
You made a good point. I feel like if you're a fan and you're blaming last season on Lou, you're a fucking moron. I'm not pulling back any punches. You're a fucking moron. Yeah. Because if you're going to blame last season on anything, or point blame at the fucking guys not being able to build an arena by the time the season started. Yeah. And point blame at Gary Bettman and everyone at the NHL front office who didn't cancel games, because the Islanders got fucked that way. Oh. The Islanders had to play with an AHL team for, like, 2 weeks. And then
The
season was over at that point. But it's like, as soon as that ended and other teams started getting COVID at the numbers in which the Islanders were getting, games got canceled.
Yep. I forgot about all that. It's a great point. Lou does deserve some blame, that's for sure. But not like it's
you
like
can blame him, the world. But don't, don't put all the blame on Lou, especially for last season. Last season, it sucked because it just sucked. Like, that's it at the end of the day. Like, it was just it was a series of unfortunate events. Lemony or Snicket, whatever the fuck that guy's name is. He's like some, it was a children's book, and the guy used a pseudonym.
That's a good word. Word of the day, pseudonym. But
more Islanders news.
Yeah. Dennis Kowalski. I'm not sure we're going to go into the other one next, but just to quickly touch on Dennis Kowalski.
They signed him.
Yeah, that's cool. He kind of sucks, but from what I've heard, I don't watch Dennis Kowalski play too much hockey, but he was first-round pick.
Fake fan.
I can't even remember what draft he was in. My bad. I haven't been grinding watching Kowalski tape for the last for the last bunch of days. I think he was a 20.
He's an Islander now. Yeah. You should know everything about him.
He was the 20th overall pick in 2016. One pick after Kiefer Bellows. He bounced around.
Wait, that kid's a 2016 draft pick? Dennis Kowalski sounds like someone who was drafted in 2006. That is such an old man name.
He's my age. He's basically my age. He's a couple days older than our good buddy Josh. He had a really good junior. He's a good skater. He couldn't really stick with Detroit. Then again, though, rookie year, he had 16 points in 52 games. That's not bad. And then he went to Seattle in the draft. Didn't do too well. He went to Washington. Then he put up 18 points in 31 games in Charlotte last year. So maybe they unlocked something nice with him. I think that he'll maybe make it to the battle for that 6-7-D, so maybe he'll make it interesting, maybe not. It's worth a flyer on for free, I think, but I think that transitions to the next point you were about to make.
I guess if you want to consider it, bad, if you're a negative Nancy, bad news for the Islanders, they didn't do anything. There was more bad news that came out today, and it was the very Islanders. Recently. Sebastian, literally, like an hour breaking. Ago. Sebastian Aho, the Islanders, Sebastian Aho, essentially had one Bud Light at dinner.
The bro had a Miller Lite and drove home.
He had a Michelob Ultra and decided to drive home. And I didn't realize that, what is he, Swedish?
Yes.
That the legal limit was 0.02, and they clocked him at 0.032.
Yeah, it's like Lamoriello's statement, basically. Lamoriello said, he was like, yeah, we got the police report, and it was 0.032, and the legal limit in Sweden is 0.02. So Sebastian's sorry, and we're just going to move on as an organization. So it sounded like, to me, I could be wrong in what he says, because who knows what Lou was thinking. It sounded like Lou was saying, like, damn, that's a stupid rule, and like, we don't really care. Like, the, we understand that guy had also, a beer.
Imagine it's also like, yeah, he gets released, like, tomorrow.
I mean, he's pretty bad, so...
Yeah, it's a really bad, like, the way their drinking limits are and stuff. It's like you drink like a quarter of a beer at that
point. It's like I had like a beer in the locker room after my beer league game, and then
I had three beers tonight. I would be fucking, they would throw me the book.
You'd be dead.
They'd be like, you're going to jail for a long fucking time. Hope you like being someone's bitch.
I wasn't sure. I heard some reports that it was the morning after he went out. So, like, the guy slept it off and then just had some residual alcohol in the system.
Had some hair, the dog.
Yeah. So, I mean, it feels like a non-news story, but I just wanted to bring it up. I think it was more concerning when I put it on the agenda at the start, because I thought this guy was, like, hammered driving home. And, like, that Downers weren't going to stand for that, and he's out of competition for the 6D spot. But I don't think that's the case. I think it's still between him, Salo, and probably Chwalski at this point. Hutton's a right D. He'll probably start in the minors. But sorry that happened to you, Sebastian. Probably getting your license suspended. You hate to see it, but you'll be back in America soon enough where you can have a beer before driving. I guess that we shouldn't promote that, but I would say it's okay to relax and have a beer.
Take one off, man. Take a load off. Yeah, moving away from all the Islanders talk.
Good Islanders talk for a half hour. Love it.
Hope anyone who's been hankering for some Islanders news, I hope that you know,
about damn time.
That was good enough for you. Hope all of the signings the Islanders made were enough for you. It's NHL 23 week. Does that mean anything to either of us? Fuck no, it doesn't.
No, give us cross platform play. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that we're looking for. That comes out tomorrow. Will it happen
tomorrow?
Probably. Yeah, they're releasing like footage and everything tomorrow. Oh, so God. We know who's on the cover, and Kevin as my witness.
You did call it.
We were texting about it, and I said it's probably going to be Zegras doing the Michigan. And I ended up not doing the
it was Zegras in five inch seam shorts.
Yeah, Zegras is on the cover along with Darnell Nurse's sister. Sorry, I don't know her first name.
I think, oh God, I saw it before. We're terrible. She, I mean, she's not the most well known women's hockey player, but it's good to see them get some representation. So
yeah,
I can go.
Cool cover.
It's kind of a crappy cover, but that's okay.
It's just that, like, it's cool that it like on the ice. It's a young star and a prominent female hockey player, especially a female hockey player of color on the cover. So, you know, and I think she's the first female on the cover ever. Oh, so, yeah. I mean, like a lot of cool things there. But outside of that, I don't think anyone really fucking cares. The only thing that everyone cares about, because the game's not going to change
from
what it was last season.
Absolutely not.
It's the only thing that would be the redeeming quality or the redeeming factor of this game is if they did cross-platform.
Yeah.
I think that's what you and I are looking for. That's what I think everyone who plays the game is looking for. Just
give us cross-platform.
It shouldn't be that difficult to do.
Everybody does it now.
And like, I think that on the cover, it's like something, if you buy the game like digitally on your like PlayStation 4, because I did it with NHL 22. I bought it on the PS4, and then I eventually got a PS5, and I just had to re-download it onto my PS5. It's like the same thing with that. So it's like if you buy it on like an older system, get a newer system, and you have like an account, you can just download it again. Cool, that's great. Give us cross-platform.
Literally, that's especially on the newer gen. You gotta. My Xbox is struggling nowadays, so I gotta get a new one. But that's all you need. All we want is cross-platform. But We'll see how it goes. And World Cup of Hockey also. I didn't know this was a thing either until you put it on the agenda.
Yeah, so I saw the NHL announced it. Chicklets was bumping it. So yeah, the World Cup of Hockey is returning in 2024. So all we know about it right now is that it's a 17-day window. So it will be hosted for about 2 weeks in February of the 2024 season. So next
could be cool if done right.
It's great, but it's also like the NHL has been like begging to have normal seasons again. And granted,
yeah,
like
this season, a good point.
This season started a little bit later, but it was relatively normal. Next season's going to be a normal season, and then you're already going like, well,
there would have been the Olympic break anyway, so I think this is them compensating for the Olympics pretty much.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's true. So I mean, like, still, it's gonna be cool. Only eight teams. Your
point, though. It's kind of hilarious.
So only eight teams. So you have to think it's gonna be the U.S., Canada, Finland, Sweden, Russia.
We'll see about Russia at that point. You never know, man. U.S., Canada, Sweden, Finland for sure. Czech Republic will be there.
If it's I guess
Russia, they're gonna have the Russian NHL players play. So probably Russia. Who are really missing? I think Germany makes an appearance.
Germany here. Will probably get a team and Switzerland? The Czech.
I said the Czech. I think it probably goes out to like Switzerland, Denmark, maybe Slovakia. They got some options. Somebody's gonna be pissed off.
Yeah, or if they combine all those teams and do like a Baltic team or something. I mean, like, it sucks that they're not gonna be like, there's not gonna be, there's, yeah, like, it sucks that there's not gonna be like a team North America, because that team was sick.
That was wild.
That was an awesome team. So it's sad that's not gonna be a thing.
It was a cool idea. I commented this on Puck Empire's, not a sponsor, Instagram post one time, and I got like 1,000 likes, so I felt famous. But
humble brag.
I said it was a good idea and fun to watch, but it kind of made the tournament feel like gimmicky, you know? It kind of took away from the validity of the tournament, in my opinion. Like, I thought it was sick, like you said, don't get me wrong, to see all those guys. Like, when are you ever going to see McDavid and McKinnon play together again? Probably never.
Yeah, well, you probably would, because they're both Canadian.
Okay, well.
True. I'd say all McDavid, right. and Matthews, and, yeah.
Okay, that's a good point. But it felt like it was like, okay, like the semifinals is Sweden versus Team North America. Like, it kind of felt like a bit of a gimmick, but
yeah, I get that.
It's okay.
This brings up, and I was thinking about it, and it's the third point in our little bullet point here. I brought the idea up before.
Soccer guy.
They should just do a Champions League for hockey.
Oh my god!
You already have a league established in European soccer or football, whatever. No, the euro is less than the dollar now. It's soccer, so you already have a soccer league set up. You know how it runs. Just do the same thing with hockey clubs.
A lot of money to see the Tampa Bay Lightning. Dog SKA St. Petersburg. I would say,
man, that'd be fucking sick.
They used to do that. They used to have the Stanley Cup final winner play the Gagarin Cup winner. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It was the Russian KHL winner. And they used to have them play each other in the Summit Series, which I think is so sick. I wish they would do that again, just as like a fun exhibition.
Like yeah, for like the NHL, you could do like top, like you could do like the top team in each conference at a certain point. Makes the NHL team. So you have four NHL teams versus like four Swedish teams. So it's like, imagine fucking Colorado playing Frölunda or something.
Oh my
like,
god! I guess mean, that's the problem. Massacre. Like, I think the soccer teams are like, I feel like you can find a bit more parity between like.
Say, oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, the NHL is just so top class.
It's like I think we discussed it before too. The only issue is. Like, I think the American players only play on, like, the European or the Olympic ice, I think, is still different than the European ice, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's like you have to have everyone play on, like, Olympic ice, so it's a little fair because, like, the European ice is bigger. The North American ice is smaller.
It's easier to adjust to the bigger ice than the smaller ice. I used to play on Olympic ice growing up. It's, like, a ridiculous difference, by the way. It's, like, it's wild, but... Yeah, I think that's actually a good point. I didn't think about because like a soccer pitch never changes.
Yeah, no, it's always the same. So I mean, like, It would be a very cool concept.
I agree. It would be cool.
Will they do it? No, never. But you know, if the NHL is ever looking for an ideas guy, I will quit my job.
Be the hashtag ideas guy.
I will never say anything bad about Gary Bettman again.
How much would they have to? They could pay you like a mid-range salary just to pitch like three ideas a day, or like it's like, hey Chris, like pitch us a good idea a day, or like an idea a day, and just see what comes of it.
Hey man, I could definitely do that. Six, like it doesn't even be like high six figures. It could be like $150,000 a year, like an idea a day, bro. I can do that. Like I can definitely do that.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Have a good day. You think of three ideas. Your job's done.
I think of three ideas. I don't got to do anything for half the week.
Exactly.
It's a little bit of a shorter episode. I didn't know how long this
40 minutes.
I didn't know how this was going to run. I was like under the impression that this was going to be anywhere between 20 to 30 minutes. So I'm happy that we got some content out of it, but I got nothing else besides number of the week, and I did not pull up the jersey.
I think we're always having around 40, 45 minutes, so not bad.
Give me a second to pull up the
take your time
jersey history. All right, so the number of the week this week is 71.
I try not to look at it at the bottom of the notes because I want to be surprised.
Okay, so
I'm curious if I can get any of these.
Take a guess how many players have worn 71.
It's gonna be like five or six.
A little lower, two.
Oh, that's not many.
Both recent, within the last 10 years. So one guy wore it in 2012. Let me pull him up real quick.
Oh God,
He was drafted drafted in the first round, ninth overall, the 1998 draft.
First round in the 98 draft. Oh my God!
But then he was
born,
and then oh yeah, and then he re-entered the draft.
Oh, what a dog!
And was drafted in the third round in the 2000 draft.
Oh, this guy's one of those jerks that goes back in the draft.
Drafted by the Islanders, first round ninth overall pick in the 98.
Boom! It's Mike Rupp. I gave it away.
You are correct.
What a terrible draft pick, ninth overall. Awful,
Mike Rupp. 610 games played.
He's 54 a cool guy, goals, don't get me wrong, but
45. Yeah, he played for the Danbury Thrashers. So
exactly.
Right after Thrashers. He won the cup too. Because I think the lockout was the next year, so he correct. Wasn't playing. So he played for the Thrashers.
The Thrashers. Great doc.
If you have not watched the Untold on Netflix about the Thrashers, you need to watch. Is it the Trashers or the Thrashers?
It's literally the Thrashers.
Oh, okay, the Thrashers. Yeah, okay. Yeah, great doc. So 99 points in 610 games, minus 28. Guess how many penalty minutes he had?
It's got to be upwards of like 1,800.
Not that much. Only 855.
Oh, that's not bad for Mike Rupp, actually.
So, played for New Jersey, Phoenix, Columbus.
Yep. He could have been one of the rare three-time tri-state area guys, but
New York and Minnesota. Yeah, so he was a minus 21 his 5 years in New Jersey, minus three in Phoenix, minus four in New York. Only had he played seven games in Phoenix in 2 years. Most of his games were played in Pittsburgh and New Jersey. He played 68 games, so essentially a season in New York. But yeah, Mike Rupp is the first player to wear 71. He's the first player to ever wear it for New York too, since there was only two. And yes. This guy was on the Rangers give or take a few times. He only played one game for New York last year, but he played last year.
Played the last year for one game. Was he a defenseman or a forward?
I will not tell you his position. He's definitely, I feel like, a goalie. By me not saying his position, it gives it away.
He's got to be a goalie. who the hell did? Who have the Rangers put in goal? It's not Georgiev. It's not Shesterkin. Oh God! Did they play?
He played most of the season in. He was on the Rangers for two seasons. He played nine games in 2021 and one game in 22 or 21-22. He spent most of his time in New York in Hartford. And the one game he played was a win. He allowed 2 goals on 31 shots, and he had a 9.35 save percentage.
I know this isn't right, but I'm going to go with Magnus Helberg.
I think
good guess, though.
It was a very good guess. I don't think he's been on the team in like 4 years. It was Keith Kincaid, another New Jersey Devil.
Dang. And he's from Long Island. I should have known that one. Rats.
Yeah, Keith Kincaid. Career 167 games played, 69 wins. Nice. 58 losses. 21. What is this? Is this fucking ties plus overtime shootout losses? Yeah, I mean, he's still playing, I think, but his career, he has surprisingly a 9.05 save percentage, so it's not that bad. I mean, he's played 9 years in the league, so it's not terrible. Played most of his career in New Jersey. I'm pretty sure didn't he start there for a while?
Sorry, I was looking on who got kicked off MasterChef. I was still listening, but yeah, he did start his career with New Jersey.
Did someone you like get voted off of MasterChef?
No, my mom's favorite person got voted off, but my guy was in the bottom two. He stayed. That's why I was nervously watching.
Oof, oof. 6 years in New Jersey, 9.06 save percentage. 2 years for the Rangers, 9.03 save percentage. 1 year in Montreal, only played 6 games, 8.75 save percentage. But yeah,
8.75. Oh, God.
And what's crazy is he played 6 games. He just let in a lot of goals because he went 5-1-1, which doesn't make sense because that's 7.
Yeah,
he might have went in one game just after Price or someone got pulled, but 24 goals allowed on 192 shots. So yeah, that's why his percentage is so low, but it's weird. Yeah. He had a goals allowed in the 6 games he played in Montreal. He had a goals allowed average of 4.24.
Not great.
Yeah, that's not gonna get you very far. Only two guys to wear the number 71.
Nice. I'm happy to get one. That whole sidetrack reminded me of, you remember Mackenzie Skapski? That's a throwback name. That is a throwback name right there.
And I went right back on a Twitter, and the NHL Network posted something, and guess who is on my screen right now?
There's no – oh, it's Mike Rupp.
Mike Rupp. talking New York Rangers hockey. Rangers legend talking about his former team. That pretty much wraps it up. I got nothing else.
No. Good episode. Almost 50 minutes. You're saying it's so short. We're chilling. This is as usual.
Almost a 50-minute pod. You're right. Hopefully soon within the next okay, so – we said we were going to be recording in 2 weeks, which would mean now an episode's coming out next week.
Recording in 2 weeks.
We will definitely be recording in 2 weeks, because I think next to nothing is going to happen next week, unless the reverse retros come out.
It's next week, and then it's Labor Day, which probably nothing, and it's the 7th. So we'll see. We'll be back on the 7th or the 14th. It's going to be September.
We'll be back in 2 to 3 weeks, right as training camp and preseason kicks off, I believe. So we will definitely know what the reverse – I shouldn't say that. We will probably, hopefully, maybe know what the reverse
is like.
So we'll talk about that, and we'll tier them and everything, and then we'll do
some predictions and
about our predictions and everything. And maybe we'll do a fucking mailbag where you guys actually ask us questions and we're able to answer them. And I'm calling everyone out. I don't give a fuck. I'm calling everyone out. Ask us some questions. If you're listening to this, ask us questions.
God bless
will,
if you're listening at this
we will. We will host a lockout, and we won't record a single podcast for season 3.
The people will be so upset.
They will be. But thank you again for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to.
Stitcher.
On Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Fun fact, I was on Anchor today, and I was the other day, yesterday. And I'm actually not going to end the podcast just yet, because I want to read out something.
Okay, please. Are you on the website of Anchor, or are you on
the... I am on the website.
Okay,
so
let me go to the website then. I'm on the app, which kind of stinks.
Our audience. Okay. So for a little peek behind the curtain, 92% of our listeners are from the US, obviously.
Not surprised.
We have 5% listenership in South Africa. We are running the hockey world in South Africa.
I must be somebody's fiance.
And then 2% in Germany. So hopefully you guys have a good World Cup of hockey in a few years. And then we're less than one. And then we're less than 1% in Sweden, Canada, Israel, Singapore. Shout out Nick Marinelli. UK, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Croatia.
Where are Spain, you finding Finland. This?
if you go to the Anchor website and go to audience.
Audience. Where am I missing that? I'm so curious. Oh, audience. There it is. Oh, man. I never looked at any of this. Yeah, would you look at that? Yeah. Why are 5% of our viewers coming from, but then 96% of them are from Gauteng? How did, where is that? Now I'm curious.
What are you saying?
I clicked on South Africa, and then it brought me to the geographic location.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so shout out us and South Africa. We run hockey there. But, yeah, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. 78% of you who listen to an Apple podcast. Oh, wow. 10% of you listen on web browser. I don't know. That must be Spotify. Psycho, that dude. Must be Spotify. I have to admit. 2% on Podcast Addict. 2% on Google Podcasts and 7% on another podcast platform. So here's okay. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcast Addict. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and a nice review. And I could even break down the devices if you want. 81% iPhone, 7% Android, 6% Windows, 4% Mac. And so it means web browser, they're literally listening on like their computer. Very cool.
Oh,
but 2% like, other.
But like, this is nuts. Like, that's sick. And then you can click on the states.
Oh, just, that we're, and, so just and kidding.
Go look at the area. Like,
yeah,
that's nuts.
Like, so Brooklyn, we need to be, Brooklyn. We need to be way more inclusive on Spotify because our demographic is 100% male. And this podcast we're gonna be way more inclusive going forward. I'm gonna do some DEI training relatively soon.
Where? Spotify only. Oh my god,
and yeah, our demo is the 28 to 34 year olds. I was gonna
say it's literally all 28 to 34 male. That can't be true. My girlfriend listens on Spotify. This-
Hey, man.
She's not listening, evidently.
She's something's not adding up.
Something's not adding up here. I'm not happy.
Someone's got to be pressed.
This is nuts. There's no way all of our viewers on Spotify are 28 to 34.
Last 30 days. I want to see all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. We still crush South Africa.
How do you see the last? How do you see all time? Oh, last 30 days. You're right. All time. Oh, my goodness. This is wild. I can't
believe it. Okay, yeah. So 72% of our listeners are listening on Apple Podcast, 7% on Spotify, 6% web browser, 3% Podcast Addict, 12% other. Okay, so in order of where you should subscribe to the podcast, it is Apple, Stitcher, /Google Podcast, then Spotify, then web browser, then on Podcast Addict. And if you're listening on Spotify, this is a better breakdown. Okay, just kidding. Your girlfriend is listening to the podcast.
That's good. I'm not
80, in the last 30 days, okay. Our demo has been dudes all time.
Lesbian dudes.
All time, 89% male, 9% female.
2%
non-specified.
We're not doing good in the non-binary.
We gotta enter the non-binary category this season. I'm not happy with our non-binary numbers, but the 18 to 22%, that's a good target demo. 23 to 27, that's 50% of our listeners. What's up, dudes?
a lot of them.
For some reason, we're attracting the old crowd because 5% of our listeners are 60 or older. But 45 to 59 is only 1%.
Make it make sense.
This is so behind the curtain. If you guys aren't listening at this point, I don't know what to tell you.
This is great.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. But if it's Apple, make sure you subscribe on Apple. Leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star rating. Follow the podcast on Twitter @FromBroadToBell. We're going to do a mailback episode soon, and you've had plenty of warning. We will tweet it. If you don't ask questions, we're doing a lockout. No ifs, ands, or buts. Thanks I'm for good. Listening. Yep. Kevin, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right, that's it for me. Non-binary people, we'll see you soon. Peace.